You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. With your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only you. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to only you. Great are you, Lord, to only you. And shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Good morning. How are y'all today? We're here. This is Praise and Testimony Sunday. Is that your testimony, Sue? I'm here. Okay. I'm here. All right. Well, welcome. I do have a few announcements, and then we'll get right to the praise and testimony time. So welcome to our visitors, and glad you are here today, and you came on a special day. This is less of me and more of God. That's always a good thing, and praising God for what He has done in your life. And I was gone all week, and visiting with the Parkers, Don and Sandy. They have a timeshare, and they invited us to come be out there for a few days in Las Vegas, which could have picked a better city, but it was fun being with them and all that. But did that, and then Friday we left Vegas and went up to Walnut Creek for Jack Dewey. Many of you remember the Deweys, Jack and Roberta. And, you know, Roberta passed away, I guess, 4 years ago, and Jack passed away in October. They finally were able to do the memorial service, and so I was privileged to be a part of that service yesterday. And so, and that went well, and their whole family is very grateful to you. To this church, you know, where Jack and Roberta was, they were here like 30 years or something like that. It was a long time. Yeah, 30 years. And so seem to have lost my bulletin where I wrote down all my notes. No, I need the one with, unless you have my writing in there. Found it. Okay, found it. I'm just... got in late last night, and everything's just been kind of an uproar, so forgive me for that. Okay, but I do have a few announcements. Church Council meets this Tuesday, and that's at 6:30, so everybody that's on Church Council will be there at 6:30, and Judy will not be there. She's visiting somewhere, so Dave, make sure you bring your recording device for her. And... prayer conference, okay? Very important prayer conference is this weekend. And it's Friday, I believe it's 6:30. And we'll have just a few snacks or whatever. And then Saturday, it's 9 in the morning till whenever it ends, which he says too. I kind of think it might be a little later than that, but... So I put 3 on the board over there. But, you know, it's whenever it ends there. And then Sunday evening at 5:30, we will have a concert of prayer where we will pray and have worship. Okay? And if you can come to this, you should come. I mean, if you want to enhance your prayer life, you know, if you're serious about your prayer life, you really need to be here. It's... Jerry McCullough is the one that leads it. He has a ministry about prayer. He's a pastor, but he also has an independent ministry of that church on prayer. And I guarantee you will benefit from being here. And on that Saturday, we will be providing a lunch of some sort. We'll be talking about that at council, by the way, everybody. So anyway, prayer conference, please sign up. I think we got like 24 or so signed up. So like to have more than that. And VBS. It's Vicky. Where's Vicky? Right there. How do you need more? More people?
I can use more people.
Okay. Need a few more people for VBS. There's a sign-up sheet there. I believe it's still there.
Actually, I have it.
Oh, actually, you have it. So see Vicki if you want to help with Vacation Bible School, July 5th through the 9th, 9 to 11:30. Lastly, today is our celebration. I'm not really celebrating, but we're celebrating Dick and Lorna Moore today. I'm not celebrating the fact that they're leaving, but they are leaving. and they're going up to San Jose area. I think you guys will be here next week. You're planning on? Maybe not. Oh, might be gone. Oh, no, I'm talking about church. You won't be here in church. Okay, so this is going to be their last church service here. They're going to try and come to the prayer thing, I think. But long-time members, long-time big influence in this church, faithful people, and we're celebrating them today. So there is food right after the service. We're going to have a food fellowship, which is appropriate with them, right? I mean, they were the ones. They brought the food every week for years, you know, bringing the food and all that. So this today, we bring the food to you, Dick and Lorna. So talk to them after the service and because they're moving, and so a sad time, but we'll celebrate the time we had, and that's what we're doing today. And there will be, we're going to take a love offering for them after the service, or at the end of the service. They're shaking their heads no. Too bad. You're overruled. You're overruled. And we're going to do it. And so if you would like to give to that, just be thinking about it. And if you did not come prepared for that, you can see Lynn later, and we'll get it to them. Okay? So that's what this day is about, but those things. But what it's really about is the Lord and what He is doing in your life, or I should say what He has done in your life. Hopefully recently, hopefully, you know, He's been working in your life all along. And we're going to give you an opportunity to share that. And
got to announce the yard sale.
Got to announce the yard sale. I have that written down, too. Half blind here. Okay, gosh, how could I miss that? Yes, the youth are having their rummage sale. We had one a couple months ago, I guess, or whenever. And it was very successful, but as you, anybody that was here knows, there was a lot of stuff left, and people have donated since. And it's to raise money for camp, okay? It's raising money for the youth to go to camp, and for other things as well, for our youth department. So, that sale is the 29th, which is a week from this Saturday, I believe.
Oh, yeah, a week from this Saturday.
Okay, I got that right. A week from this Saturday is the actual sale. Next Sunday is the final day you can bring something nice, or as I say, get rid of your junk. But bring something. We got to cut it off, so we're going to cut it off next Sunday. So if you bring something to church next Sunday, Doug will take it, and they'll put it in that room they have over there. And then that's all going to get hopefully sold the following Saturday. So, and it's going to start at 7 in the morning, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Come and shop.
Come and shop. Shop till you drop, you know. That's coming up as well. Now, have I forgotten anything? Yes, ma'am.
The Bible, Women's Bible study on Monday.
Okay, is it?
It's going to be canceled.
Okay, women's Bible study. Those of you that come on Monday, it's like at 1 o'clock or something, and we'll not for the next, not tomorrow, and not next week, right? Okay. Anything else? All right. So this is our praise and testimony time, and what's going to happen? We're going to do it a little bit different this time. We're going to try and get the words. Oh, I guess I should read. I won't read the verses till after the testimony time. Well, maybe I will. Because I just realized these verses pertain to the testimony time. So, forgive me. Got in late last night. Bam. Okay. Revelation chapter 12, 10, 11, and the first part of 12. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you today wishing to please you, Lord. We want to praise you. We want to testify about you. We want to sing praises to you and worship you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you will be pleased, that what we do here today will be a sweet-smelling savor to your nostrils, Lord, that you would be glorified this day, that Jesus would be lifted up, and that we would be encouraged. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, what we're going to do now is, it used to be we'd give a testimony and then we'd say, okay, what song? So now what I want you to do is give us the song first, so that while you're giving your testimony, Dave can try and get the words up there for all of us to sing. Okay, so we're going to try this. We'll see how quick Dave's nimble fingers are in there and how fast our computer responds to the commands. So we're going to try this. And if it doesn't work, we'll just, wing it like we always did. And Dan, okay, is this the one? No. She's got hers. Dan's got his. Okay, we got to turn these on. Okay. And so Dan's going to try and kind of cover this way, and I'll kind of cover this way. And so, here we are. All right. So, yes, please speak into the microphone. I know everybody thinks their voice is loud enough. It is not. None of you are like me, okay? So, who would like to give a testimony? Yes, Issa. And what's your song, Issa?
I have a very important song. It's called "You Are My Sunshine."
Oh, do we have the word? Everybody over the age of 50 knows that. go ahead, Issa.
So, I'm thankful for being here today at the house of the Lord, and I'm thankful to see all these people's faces, and I'm thankful to see you and the choir and everybody. So, I'm just thankful for everyone here.
Amen. We're thankful for you, Issa. You want to lead us in the song, Issa?
Yep.
She's right there. Come on up. I know you're not shy. Come on. Don't act like you're shy.
Sunshine, my only sunshine, you make me happy when skies are gray. You never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away.
All right, that was a good start. That was a great start. Somebody else. What's God been doing in your life? Oh, here's Lorna. Got a song, Lorna?
Yes, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, but I don't know the number because I can't read the hymnal.
Okay. Jim will get that for us in just a moment. So go ahead, Lauren.
Okay, if anybody has been to our house lately, they realize there's a three-ring circus going on. Lori had been in the hospital for a month with cancer, and then we moved her up north. We've got boxes in the living room, a dresser in the living room, no furniture in the living room. It's been very wild. Workers coming in and out, packing. We've had been very blessed to have people helping us pack up. But through all this, I started out when Lori first went to the hospital with a lot of fear. And I did a lot of praying. And God has given me a peace that just cannot be taken away. I can't describe it, but the peace is there. And I just am thankful that I have a God I can trust in.
Amen. You have the words. I have a clicker. Going to do like the whole song, so we'll do. But while y'all are thinking, because I know y'all are thinking of a testimony, but I'm going to give you a little more time because I have one that was sent in, and I'm going to take the liberty of picking the song because I think it is appropriate for this testimony. It is well with my soul. Okay. And many of you, some of you won't know this young man, but many of you will remember him as Kenny Crabb. Okay, and it's Billy's grandson. And remember, he came and he had the brain cancer and they did an operation on him and we baptized him here. It's been a couple years, I guess, since then. At least, probably three or four. But young man, and I had the pleasure of talking with him quite a few times. He would come to my office and talk with me about things. And he went off to Vietnam with a young lady and was out in Asia and all that, and all got sick, started having seizures, had to be rushed back to the States, and had to have brain surgery. And it has been a little over 2 years since that happened, and he sent in. This is six kind of short pages. I'm not going to read it all. Okay, but it is powerful, and I want to share the gist of it with you. So, Kenny and Vicky, I know Vicky's, I think, watching on the stream, and so let this one go there, Michelle. Okay, and I know Vicky's watching, so I'm not going to read it word for word, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. And 2 years ago today, I had brain surgery. And he had a seizure, which led to an MRI scan, finding a tumor in the right front temporal lobe. The lengthy surgery was successful. He woke up with left side paralysis. It took a few weeks to regain ability to walk. Hospital gave him a walker. after the surgery, he had blurry vision. In his words, the memory capacity of a fish. And pounding headaches. And he also developed a strange, creepy laugh and would stare, and a stare that his mom would often comment. And he kind of talked in monotone. In many ways, in his own mind, he was lobotomized. That was the way he put it. He says, God has blessed me, though, with strong, loving parents. My dad was responsible for bathing me. My mom was responsible for 99.9% of everything else. Doctor's appointments, piles of insurance, medical paperwork, prescriptions, as well as the standard stuff, cooking, cleaning, you know, all the stuff that had to be done for him. He says, I was completely dependent on my parents for everything at 38 years of age. And he lost his license, everything. He says, I didn't know it at the time, but God was humbling me in every capacity of my life. He was using this moment to fully remold me like clay in the hands of a potter. And after surgery, he says, I chose the medical system to help me because I didn't know any better. I didn't know Jesus was the answer. He says, I didn't really have faith in Christ at the time. He says, there wasn't any fruit of the Holy Spirit. I had very little faith. And then 2 weeks after the surgery, Mayo Clinic gave an official diagnosis, stage 2 astrocytoma, slow-growing brain cancer terminal. And the neurologist prescribed anti-seizure medicines, and doctors insisted if he didn't take it every day, he'd have a massive seizure and die. Chemo pills were being discussed. He got depressed. He researched different things, like organic things and different things to help. Nothing was happening. He became suicidal. He began to focus, if I was going to die from cancer, then why live through all the treatment? And I'm sure there's people that can identify with that statement. He said he plotted for weeks how to kill himself. Jumping in front of the local train seemed most ideal. I know Nappy talks about that. He was an engineer for many years and says that people do that. And he says, but what happened if I tried and it failed? And then he began experiencing demonic attacks. And then one afternoon, his girlfriend in India called him and asked if she could pray. And she began to pray for him out of Psalm 91. And as she prayed, he said, he came into agreement. He closed his eyes, held a Bible above his head, and cried out to God, Jesus, please help me. And at that time, he closed his eyes. He said he could see a mirror that was shattered. And he says, I was free. He says, I knew the Holy Spirit delivered me. I was instantly healed. No more depression, no more suicidal thoughts. He believed the cancer was gone. He says he felt it left him. He believed that God delivered him. And he ended the call after, like, joyful talk with his girlfriend on the phone. Ended the call, began cleaning his room, began claiming his life back, ran downstairs with laundry, told his parents, I'm healed. He goes, he didn't think they understood what was happening. He says, I stated boldly, I will be stopping all medications and doctors effectively and immediately. I'm now be making all my decisions myself. And he says, of course, he understands. His parents pushed back really hard, you know, on that. But he says, I knew that God had instantly healed me. He says, in the blink of an eye, I was fully restored. Praise the Lord. I knew it in my spirit and my heart. Didn't need a doctor's approval. Jesus is the great physician, and he gave me a second chance. And the real fight now, he says, was to escape my family. who loved me but disagreed with every decision I wanted to make. And so he secretly purchased a visa and a plane ticket and flew back to India. And he says, in my family's eyes, I was still very much broken, but they understood that their son would be happier. So they agreed to drop him off at the airport. And he boarded the plane. And he says, it's been now 2 years. So, you know, fast forward 2 years. He has not taken any medicine, no chemo, no radiation, no doctor's appointment, no seizures, no strokes, no cancer. He goes, I'm overseas. I'm a redeemed child of God, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere. God leads me. I'm saved. I'm set free. All glory to God our Father. God, Jesus saved me when I thought my life was over. He died for the world's sin and my transgressions. He is the great sacrifice, the greatest gift. Then he quotes John 3:16 and ends it with, Jesus rescued and saved me in my darkest hour. In return, I fully devote my life to him by doing the Father's will everywhere I go. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Jesus gets the glory. Broken, redeemed in Christ. Amen. So, and
may I add, he preaches everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Everyone.
So, I thought this, you know, I was thinking, you know, what song, you know, I don't know that this would be the song he would pick, but it would be the song I would pick if I'd gone through what he had. And it's just that no matter what's happening, if you're saved, if you're a believer, it is well with your soul. And so we'll sing, let's go first and third verse on this, because the third verse is the one. Okay.
Things in my life that have happened.
What's the song?
Oh, I'm sorry. Awesome God.
Awesome God. All right. Go ahead.
Without truly understanding, I just say, well, man, was I lucky. But so many things have happened through my lifetime where I survived serious, potentially serious situations, and out of my mouth, man, was I lucky. And as I grew and really came to know the Lord, I realized I wasn't lucky, I was with God. And I praise Him for that. He has blessed me with a wonderful family, beautiful wife. And I just thank the Lord for changing my life and leading me in the right direction.
Amen. Awesome God. To pick the long songs. All right. Someone else, what's God doing in your life?
I got something to say.
Okay, Harvey. What's your song, Harvey?
Oh, I don't care.
I don't care. Do we have that one?
Anyways, what I wanted to say is that this church is, as you see it full of people again, is a great sight. But there was a time that this church had some pretty big problems. And I mean some serious problems. And there's only a few people that hung out here long enough to help it out. And Dick and Lorna were two. It was Vicki, Emma, my wife and I, David, Pat. And on the church council, we were struggling every week. This is before Pastor, even before, what's his name this year?
Larry?
Ken Reed.
Yeah.
But believe it or not, we found him without missing a day of service. And he lived in Atascadero. I went to Atascadero every couple of years for a tournament. And we actually knew each other up there, but not in person until I started talking to him on the phone. We got it going. Well, what I'd like to say is Dick's wisdom and his ability to be a kind man is why this church has grown to be where it is with the way people come in here. Of course, we've grown since there with our new pastor, thank God. Everything's looking good and everything. But there was a time that we had a great church. Tons of money in the bank, 200 people coming here, and it's like every other church, they always have their issues. You know, teachers take a step back, people get different, division, everything. And it was an ugly moment, but we were broke, and we decided how to fix it. And Dick was a part of that, so it was Vicki and everybody. So when you see them, thank them, because all this wouldn't have been possible without those people who participated in that. Now, if anybody knows what debt is, which I'm sure we've all been there, we prayed like no tomorrow. And I think in a 2 month period, we are out of debt, paid our bills, which is $50,000 in debt. And we brought that all back, and people started coming back, and we started making a move, and we kept the church going. But Dick and Vicki and all these people is a praise. And I know Dick because I wanted to say this before he left. But he always had the wise thing to say. He's humorous. He always said it. But all together, with everybody's opinion and decision and knowledge, we kept this thing going the way it did. We were solid when Pastor came on. We had finances. We were good. He didn't have to come to a broken church. And if you know, the people in this church, they're all like Dick. So there's 65, 70 people in here today. That's a praise just in itself that those people are so kind. So I want to make this for Dick as far as a praise for thank you, Dick, for being a part of that. Lorna started the meal thing, and that started years ago, and we were feeding people every Sunday, believe it or not, not just once a month. It became a lot of work, as you can see. So I'd like to thank, and that's a praise for me, for this church, that Dick, I wanted to tell you that. Yeah. Thank
you. Rescue.
Rescue me. I think Dave has it. So we'd like to wait for Dave to come back. Thank you for Dave, too. The guy's been behind the box over there for 30 years and finally gets to play an instrument now, and I think he's 20 years younger. He's loving every day.
hopeless. You have been broken, your innocence stolen. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your echo, echo, echo. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true, I will rescue you. There is no distance that cannot be covered over and over. You're not defenseless. I'll be your shelter. I'll be your armor. I hear you whisper underneath your breath. I hear your SOS, your SOS. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkness, light is true, I will rescue you. I will never stop marching to reach you. In the middle of the hardest, light is true, I will rescue you. I hear the whisper underneath your breath. I hear you whisper, you have left me flat. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, I will rescue you. I will send out an army to find you. In the middle of the darkest night, it's true, I will rescue you.
Amen. You believe that? You believe God will rescue you? If you're saved, He already has. Amen. Someone else. Joe.
Psalm 562, lead all my vision.
It's 562 in the hymnal.
Be thou my vision.
I'm going to test Kathy here. You know that one, Kathy? No. Yeah. Oh, she does. Test her. Go ahead, test her. Okay, Joe, go ahead.
I want to praise and thank God for His mercy and His grace for my whole life. It's a miracle that I'm even alive. And not just because of what recently happened. A lot of you know that months ago I had a heart attack and a stroke back to back, and they had even put a temporary heart thing, pacemaker. They didn't think I was going to live. And once I got past that, it's funny because they were calling me the miracle man, and I just kept telling the nurses and the doctor, it's the grace of God. Grace of God that I'm still alive. I'm thank God that I'm still alive here for my daughter, and that I can continue to live for God. And I found this hymn years ago, and it's just so awesome because it speaks about making or letting God be our vision. I grew up in a very bad situation father abandoned me. I grew up with a lot of abuse, running around with the gangs, just being stupid. You know, going through all kinds of stupid things. I should have died many times, but God had mercy on me. And 7.5 years ago, my wife, my daughter's mother, passed away from cancer. And for many years, we just kept losing our home through no fault of our own. It's just, I could tell that the enemy was just harassing me and haranguing me and oppressing me and trying to get me down. And I would go, and I have in the past had very deep depression to the point of suicide. But our God is faithful, and He's loving, and He's merciful, and He's gracious. He's just awesome. And He's had mercy on us all these years. And by His grace and His mercy, His strength, His power, I'm still here, and I'm still alive. And I still serve Him. Even if I can't work anymore, or, you know, I can pray, I can do something at church, I can continue to live for Him in His glory. And I hope and praise, I hope and pray to God that I can continue to bring Him glory by my life and continue to serve Him until He takes me home, or until He takes us all home in the rapture, which we all hope comes first.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Okay. And you have a song?
I have a song, In Christ Alone.
In Christ Alone.
And, you know, first of all, this is just me, so I want to thank all of you for supporting my son and his family for so many years while they worked in China. And many of you know that they had to come home because they couldn't stay in China. And they are now in Georgia. They've been through a lot. This has not been easy for them because they love their work and they love sharing the gospel with the students in the universities. That was their home for almost 15 years. And each one of my granddaughters, you know, they weren't born there, but they lived there most of their lives. And now they're in Georgia, and they haven't been able to go to school or make a lot of friends, and they love that. But you guys have been so supportive, and you supported them even when they came home and they weren't working. Now Kevin has a job. He's teaching in a high school, 11th grade. They credited him with 11 years experience teaching, so he didn't have to start out at a real low pay. And he's supporting his family, and they have a home there. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to go see them. And I'm so grateful that we're going to be able to do that. They came home last March. They stayed with us for 10 years. I mean, 10 days, and we did. 2 years, I wouldn't be alive now, but 10 days, and we, then we had to see them off, and they went to Georgia, but we are going to go. We are going to drive back and take all my son's things that he's kept in our house for ever, and he gets to go through them himself. So if you would just keep us in your prayers as we travel so that we can get everything there safe and that everybody will be okay. And in Christ alone, I love this song.
Amen.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. His cornerstone, his solid ground. Firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are still and striving. My all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, his gift of love. Stormed by the one he came to save, till on that cross that Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ.
Someone else. What's God doing?
How much time do we have? May I be next?
You may. What's your song?
You Say.
You Say. That's what you say.
My wife don't. I'd like that. I cry. But it's because the Holy Spirit did me. I know a lot of you don't like to express feelings, but I just want to praise the Lord for my wife and for all of you. This is my home. You are my friend. You are my brother and sister. And I want to praise the Lord for this trip that we just went to the Grand Canyon. My wife has been asking me for 30 years. When are you going to take me? And I grew up in Yuma, Arizona, which is only like 4.5 hours from the Grand Canyon, and I've never been to the Grand Canyon. But God was with us. It was just my wife and I in the car, but he was right next to me. He guided us all the way. Over there and back. We stopped by this city named Sedona. And when I was looking into the information for the Grand Canyon, it says God created the Grand Canyon and it lives in Sedona. So I wanted to be there. So I just want to praise the Lord for everything that he has given me. My wife, my two boys, the great boys. We went out yesterday to the beach because I spent Mother's Day with my mom in Yuma, and we hadn't had time for my wife, so my boys took us to Laguna. Was it Laguna, honey? Laguna Beach. We were there yesterday, and then we went to dinner. We got home about 1 o'clock this morning, but it was great. It was great. My boys are a miracle. We weren't supposed to have any kids. So one is 30 and the other one's 28. School teacher. I love him. He didn't want to do his homework when he was in kindergarten or elementary school, and now he's a school teacher. Oh, my God. But praise the Lord for everything, and praise the Lord for this church. And I praise that they let me sing to the Lord. And that's what I'm here for. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everyone. Amen.
Amen. Song?
How great thou art. Old school.
Old school. How great thou art. Old school.
Old school.
The old school one.
This is kind of sort of for Vicki and Doug and Janet. And I accidentally got saved when I was really, really little. I was maybe 7. And I went to this church for a This lady said hi to me, so I put on some shoes and went to church. I went into the children's program and for like 3 Sundays, and the last Sunday I was there, she said, if you want a friend who will never leave you, who will
never
always love you, just open your eyes and look, and we'll say a prayer, and we're all going to say it together. And since then, I've never felt alone. Never. He's been my friend my whole life. So I am appreciative to those who teach the children.
I think about Billy Graham's Sunday school teacher. Both it may seem, I know Stacy did Mother's Day things. Is it Stacy? Did I say the right name? You folks have no idea what you're, who you're talking to, what you're doing. And I thank you so much for what you do for my grandbabies and the paths you speak into my life. So thank you for this church. And even though it wasn't, it was an unfortunate situation that brought me here, I'm so thankful for you guys. Oh, and every year Issa does a testimony and she tells you to sing "You Are My Sunshine." Her mother sang that song to her when she was a baby.
Say something, I'm going to have to preach. I can do it.
Yeah, anything to stop the preaching.
I just want to appreciate everybody in this place because there is not just my friends, it's wonderful people, and I thank to Lorna and Dick. They've been a big blessing, not just for everybody, but me especially. And I love them, and I really thank for being here to know so wonderful people. It's my family too. And thank you. It's a great blessing in my life, and I just want to say that. They're sisters, and they help me so much. I've been stubborn many times, and now I've been humble, and I appreciate all the help that everybody's really... now I appreciate how my husband was feeling before and understand a little more. Thank you. We just have to help each other and keep going.
Amen.
God bless.
You have a song?
As the deer.
As the deer. He's in process. We kind of messed up. We didn't ask for the song first, so... But if you have a hymnal, it's in there. There it is.
try not to bother.
What's your song, Emma?
Well, Betty took it. How great that art.
Well, we can sing another verse of that.
That's my favorite song.
Okay.
Well,
what you got to say?
I've been here many, many years, and I love this church. This is my second home. In fact, my first. When I lost my house, this became my home. And through Lynn and Harvey gave me a place to live, and I thank you, Lynn, so much. I love you guys. But I do have problems with my mouth, so I'm going to cut it short. Anyway, you all know about my granddaughter. I almost lost her with cancer, bone cancer. Now I've got a son-in-law that's in pretty serious condition, and he's been in the hospital. So I keep praying for a miracle, and I think he will give it to me because he's had it before. So I just keep praying, and I want to thank you all for the prayers, too. I love you guys. You have no idea how much I love this church. This is my home. I love it. I come here as often as I can, and I stay all day if I have to. And I love you, Pastor Mike. I don't care how bad I hit you. But I love you.
The ultimate love-hate relationship. Okay, we'll go to... Where did we... Just do it.
Okay.
Somebody's got a burning one. Otherwise, I'm going to go over the verses, and then we're going to move forward with the service. My wife.
Hello. I like you.
I just want to thank the Lord for all the patience that He gives all of us. He just continues to teach me. I get hung up on certain things, and I'm trying to be better at certain things, but He just is so patient.
Unlike my husband.
And
another glowing endorsement.
Samantha. No, but... just the way He's there for us all the time, all the prayers He answers every single day. Sometimes I think we take it for granted. And, you know, I'm just so... I won't cry. But He just continues to work on me. And I am thankful for my husband, my mother, and my kids. And just recently, my oldest son was diagnosed with stage 3 chronic kidney disease, and he had to wait 6 weeks to see a specialist. So he just got online and he started eating different, and we were all praying. And by the time he got to the doctor, the specialist, stage 3 never reverses. And but he went to the doctor and it was at stage 2. So that was a miracle, and just all the things that God does for us every single day. And I'm just very thankful for this church. We're really going to miss Lorna and Dick. If my mom's going to bring it up every day and make me sad. But just, you all are just wonderful. And this is the first time, as Pastor Wayne put it, I've ever been a first lady, and I was sort of afraid when I had seen some of the other churches and how they treated the pastor and wives, but you all have just been a huge blessing to both of us. And I'm just really thankful and blessed to be here with all of you.
Oh, 2:14. He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. 2:14. Y'all can hang. I'm not going to be too long.
Sure.
I don't know. Ask him. You're sitting down. You're good. It's everyone. You and Kathy and Eric are good. Huh? The rest of them are. No, I just in Revelation 12. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You understand, Satan is up there accusing you before God, your sin. You know, every time you mess up, every time you make a bad decision, and he's saying, accuse, accuse, accuse. Look at Mike. You know, he whacked Emma on the head again. Whatever. Right, Emma? I whacked you, didn't I? But you know what? He's up there and he does that. That's what he does. He tries to destroy you. And then when he does, he goes before God and says, look at what this guy did. That's what he does. And he says, but they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And you know what that testimony is? It's when you accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior. You testified that Jesus is the Son of God. You testified that He did die for your sin. You testified that that's the only sacrifice God could accept. And you made Him your Lord and Savior. You humbled yourself. And your testimony, it says, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And that word lives there, that's the word for your soul. You didn't love your soul. And what is that? Well, remember, before you're saved, you don't have the Spirit. And your spirit is dead. And all you got's a soul and flesh. And that soul, that's your will. You've heard me say this many times. It's your will. It's your emotions. It's your intellect. And we got that sin nature is in that soul. And that sin nature makes us make those decisions. We were a slave to our sin. We couldn't help but sin. And we love not our lives unto the death. Because you know what? When you hang on, what did Jesus say? He said, if you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. You're going to die. But if you die, you'll live. And that's what you did when you testified to Jesus. And you thanked Him. And you asked God to forgive you on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. When you did that, that was your testimony to God. And you know what? God saved you. And the accuser, he can get up there and say whatever he wants, and Jesus is at the right hand of the Father saying, "That he's mine. He's mine. Your word has no impact here, Satan. Because I paid the price for your sin and your sin and your sin and your sin and your sin. You paid the price for it." And it says in 12, "Therefore rejoice." Therefore rejoice. And we have much to rejoice. Yeah, there's pain in this room. We had a service last week and we, you know, had a lot of tears and some prayers, and you know, it was just, you know, a real emotional time. But you know what? In the midst of all that, everybody was trusting God. Sometimes God answers the prayers the way we'd like to. Sometimes He doesn't. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the bottom line is, we had that kind of a service, but this time we have a service where we're just saying, you know what? Yeah, difficult things happen. Things, you know, things that went on in our life. Maybe it was our fault. We made a bad decision. Maybe just something happened to us. Somebody else made a decision that affected us. But through it all, the Lord was there. And that's what I heard today. Everybody talk, you know, through it all, whatever it was, the Lord was there. And He makes things all right in His time. He does. Therefore, rejoice. And, you know, we just need to always remember that. Because you know what? There is stuff going on in our lives. And we don't enjoy it. And Satan would have you, you know, a couple people here today. You know, they said, you know, yeah, they're having thoughts they shouldn't have. That's what Satan does. But praise the Lord. You know, greater is He is in me than He is in the world. Satan is in the world. The Lord is in you. If you've accepted Christ your Savior. And He is greater. And I hope all of us will grow in that realization. We need to. As times get harder, and I believe they will, where's your faith? Where are you putting your faith? And, you know, it's just, you know, God is really, you know, stripping away things from us to get us in a position where we're going to rely on Him. And, you know, I believe He's kind of sifting the church. You know, Harvey talked about, you know, the church went through difficult times and there were those that stood. There were those that stayed. There were those that hung in there. And, you know, the church, the greater church, is being sifted right now, I believe. And we're seeing some people, some churches, some whole denominations turning their back on what the Bible has to say. They're succumbing to the pressure. But that's God working, and we're finding out. True believers, those that are willing to stand, those that are willing to be persecuted. I'm going to be preaching on the Beatitudes next week. I don't know how far I'll get through them. But one of them is, blessed when you are persecuted. I never thought of that as a blessing until I read the Beatitudes. And, you know, the bottom line is, the church is either going to stand for Christ in this time. And then the real church will. But the ones that are playing church, they won't. They'll bow. And so we need to reaffirm our faith. You know, those words haunt me that Christ said. He said, "When the Son of Man returns, will you find faith on the earth? And just stay in with me. Because, you know, you read, you know, I just got through preaching in Revelation. We read about all the stuff that's going to happen. And is there going to be faith on the church? Is there going to be faith found on the earth? Is it going to be there? Well, I want to say, he'll find it here. That's what I want to say. He'll find it right here. And I pray that he'll find it in a lot of other places too. But, you know, I can't control all the other places. I can only control what I believe. I can only control my faith. And you know what? Same with each of you. And together, if we stay and we bear one another's burdens and build one another up and edify and stand together. You know, there's strength in numbers. That's why God said it's not good for man to be alone. That's how Satan works. He separates people and then he just destroys them. But if we stand together, we will stand against whatever Satan will bring, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And, you know, as long as I'm here, you know, as long as I have the spiritual leader, if you want to call it that, we're going to stand for truth. And we praise God for it. We praise God for the truth. And if it brings trouble, I mean, I'm not looking for it, but if it brings it for standing for truth, then okay, fine. Trouble comes. That's just, that God allowed it, so therefore it's good. It's just going to make me better in some way. And all that to say, we overcome. You understand that Satan's already a defeated foe? He's already been overcome by the testimony. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, Satan was defeated. I mean, Jesus ultimately defeated him on the cross. But, you know, a lot of times wars are won, but people are still dying. You know? The war has been won. Christ defeated Satan on the cross. When he rose from the dead, the battle was over. Not the battle. The war was over. The battle continues. But he's already been defeated. He knows the end. You know, he's read the book too, you know. He knows where he's going. But he's going to try and take as many of us. He's going to try and take the church out. He's so evil. That's just what he does. But greater is he that is in us than he is in the world. He's not going to win. And so all we got to do is stand in our faith. And your faith is being tested. And it will be tested in a greater way. But you know what? God is good. He's going to be right there. He's going to carry you through the storms. And you know, one day we'll be there. And maybe we'll talk about it, you know. Say, hey, remember when? And it was all good because God was there. He did it. And I just want to say, you know, kind of a final testimony, if you will. You know, I praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for you. I mean, you guys, you know, I still don't get it. I mean, Dick was on, he was the chairman of the committee, I think, wasn't he? The search committee that, you know, they went for 2 years. This church went 2 years without a pastor and hung in there. And then you took me. I bet you still can't believe it, really, but I can't. You know, it moves in mysterious ways, right? But it's like, and I wasn't even looking for it, you know? I mean, I didn't even know this place existed. But it's just a testimony to God working in someone. You know, he's working in me. And he told me to quit my job. A job I had for 34 years. And he said, quit your job. No explanation. No promise. I did not know that this church existed. And I'd probably driven down Johnson Road a million times. Slight exaggeration. But a whole bunch of times. Literally. and never knew this building was even here. And tells me in October to quit my job. And through a series of circumstances, my final day was February 22nd of my job, and I still had no job. I had nothing to go to, nothing to do. And then on February 24th, I got a phone call from Dick saying, "We just voted you in as pastor. When do you want to start?" And I said, "Well, I guess March 1st. I got nothing happening. I'm unemployed." And, you know, and I came here, and I'd never been a pastor before. I mean, I'd been in ministry. I'd preached probably 1,000 times, I don't know, over many years, over 30 years or 25 years or whatever it was at the time. I had preached a lot. I'd done a lot of things, but I'd never been a pastor. And I told them that. I said, "Look, you know, you know, you're going to get somebody, you're going to have to put up with some things, you know, while I learn." And he took me anyway. Go figure. Go figure. But, you know, I came in and I just started doing, just tried to do what God told me to do. And God blessed. You know, it's not me. It's you. You guys are the ones that people come here and then they want to be here. That's you guys. And it's just a very special church. Do not take it for granted what you have here. I praise the Lord for all of you and all the things that go on here and the fun we have and, yes, the tears we have and the trials we have, and we come through it together. And God is in this place, folks. And I just praise Him. And I thank you for allowing me to be a part of what you guys got going on here. And, you know, it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And, you know, Dick was the one that gave me the phone call. You know, he called me up. And Dick, you know, I'll just say this, you know, he's been like my biggest supporter. And I'm not putting anybody down. But he calls me all the time, and, you know, He organizes things behind my back to embarrass me, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, and I hate it, but I love it. You know, honestly, I hate the attention, but I love the fact that you love me. At least I think you do. And you know, it's the best. God dropped me in the best place ever. And I brag on you guys all the time because, you know, I get in pastors' meetings and they're talking about this. I got none of that. I got none of that here. You know? That's what I tell them. I go, "I don't know what you guys, but I'm blessed. It's good." I mean, it's not that we haven't had some issue. We have, but, you know, it goes away quick. And that's just... So I praise the Lord for you. I praise the Lord for bringing me here. And I look forward. I don't know what the future holds, but you know what? Doesn't matter. God's in it. We're here together. Let's do it. You know, that's what I say. So, well, thank you. But, So anyway, I don't have a song, but we are going to have an invitation. So let's... Oh, we got a hand waver. Oh, Lorna? Testimony time is over, Lorna.
No, this is not my testimony.
Oh.
I just want to say thank you for Lori. Most of you know she hasn't been able to talk since the end of March. All she can do is whisper. And you have been her church family for about 3 years now, and she loves you. And she's going through a lot. She's got cancer in many parts of her body. But she says, "I have cancer, but cancer does not have me. The Lord has me."
Praise the Lord.
And just continue to pray for her. CDC has said she can't see her oncologist for 30 days because she tested positive for COVID, even though she doesn't have it. And so She needs lots of prayers. And I know if she were here, she would say, I love you and thank you so much for all your prayers and for all the support. Vicki was at the hospital with her almost every day, supporting her and encouraging her. And Pat was our chauffeur and driving us all over the place. And we just love you people here. And you've been a real support to Lori. And I know she wants to say thank you.
Amen.
I just want to add a little bit to what the pastor said about him. I think we had a big miracle here because I had a lot of pain when I found out that he had COVID-19. And I pray and pray and pray. And we all pray for the pastor. And I'm so happy that he's with us right now. Thank you, Lord, for saving for the COVID-19.
All right. So just have every head bowed, every eye closed. And Kathy, just play something. Unorthodox service. So, you know, is anybody here today? Just say, Brother Mike, I've never accepted Christ, my Lord and Savior, and I need to do so. I recognize that. I don't have a testimony because I've never had Him work in my life yet. Is there anybody like that? I just want to give somebody the opportunity if they never have. I just want to give them the opportunity. For the rest of us, how many would just say, I'm thankful to be here, and I praise the Lord for it. Amen. Amen. This is your time. As the music plays, if you want to come forward for prayer, if you want to come forward for whatever, this is your time. Just, if nothing else, use this time to thank the Lord for what He has done. Jesus Christ, for the salvation that we have because of Him. Father, I thank You for this service we had today. I pray, Lord, that You were pleased. I pray, Lord, that You saw, heard, felt our feelings toward You, Lord. How thankful we are, how much we love You, how much we trust You. Thank You, Lord.
for all that you're doing in us as individuals, as couples, as families, as a church family, Lord. Thank you for all those things. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.